Chinese currency gets a little appreciation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. China today let its currency, the yuan, grow stronger against the U.S. dollar. Well, at least started doing that. What does it all mean? Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us live from Shanghai with the latest. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So Washington's been complaining for a while that the currency is unfairly low in China. Mm-hmm. Why the decision now?
Well, the global economy is gradually recovering. Now, I'm sure, Steve, you're very happy to hear that. And it's especially good because it comes straight from the Chinese Central Bank. That's what it said as it announced what it calls exchange rate flexibility. As you know, there has been zero flexibility on currency for the last 18 months. To ride out the global economic storm, what China did is it pegged its currency to the weak dollar. And that made Chinese exports cheap around the world. But now, crisis mode is over, says economist Stephen Green over at Standard Chartered Bank in Shanghai.
Beijing is happy about the state of China's economy. So the effect of the renminbi exchange rate across markets has been kind of risk positive. You know, all those trades which benefit from people feeling a little bit happier about the world, taking on a little bit more risk, have benefited from this move.
Are we going to see an immediate impact from the change, Scott? What's going to happen today?
Well, today we have already seen currency rallies and stock rallies. You know, obviously, those are bets on the future. But the actual movement in the exchange rate, most people think it's going to be a slow-motion creep up. I don't see anyone recommending you rush out right now to buy low-cost Chinese stuff. So no giant rise expected over the next year, Steve.
Marketplace's Asia correspondent Scott Tong reporting from Shanghai. Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Markets around the world are responding favorably. Asian stocks were much higher today. Shares in China and Hong Kong were up about 3%. In Japan, the Nikkei up more than 2% today. European shares are following suit. Right now, shares are higher, more than a percent, generally, across the continent there. And Wall Street Friday, some modest gains. Dow is up 16 points to end the week at 10,450. In Israel today, members of the international diamond industry are meeting. They're part of what's known as the Kimberley Process. The group will be discussing whether to expel Zimbabwe because human rights advocates say the country's found a loophole in the crackdown on conflict diamonds. Reporter Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
Zimbabwe's government wants all of its diamonds certified as conflict-free because despite its political and economic problems, there's no war going on in the country. The trick is, the Kimberley process was created to stop rebel groups from entering the diamond trade. Tiseke Kasambala is with the advocacy group Human Rights Watch. She says the monitoring body hasn't figured out what to do when it's the governments themselves that are responsible for forced labor.
It is struggling to expand its mandate to deal with governments that extract these minerals by committing abuses against their own people.
When Zimbabwe's government discovered the huge potential of one diamond mining region 4 years ago, more than 30,000 locals rushed in. The government first brought in police to secure the area, then the army.
They came in with guns, with helicopters, and with dogs.
Some observers say if the Kimberley process doesn't take action against Zimbabwe, it will be a death blow to the body's legitimacy and will leave no international group to effectively monitor the world's diamond industry. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by Putnam Investments, seeking new ways to reduce the effects of market volatility for investors. This is Putnam Today.
So, looking for that off-the-beaten-path summer vacation? How about Caracas, Venezuela? It features electricity brownouts, water shortages, and one of the highest crime rates in Latin America. Reporter Reese Ehrlich found out the Venezuelan capital sure is a real bargain.
In central Caracas, the streets near the Bolivar Plaza used to be packed with tourists. Today, none are to be found. I ask a waiter at a local restaurant, where are the Americans?
Turistas americanos.
American tourists, he says? There aren't any here. There aren't many from other countries either. A short walk down the street is the house where a famous anti-imperialist revolutionary was born. No, not Hugo Chavez, but 19th century political leader Simon Bolivar. I find just two tourists. They look like they could be Americans.
Yo soy de Moscú.
But no, they're Spanish-speaking honeymooners from Russia and Italy. They're just in Caracas for a few days on their way to a popular island resort. Many tourists stay away from Caracas, fearing crime. Even so, Venezuela's tourism industry is going strong. This year, the country expects nearly 11 million visitors, 2 million more than last year. Travel guide Raul Sojo says many of those visitors are poor people from Latin America attending leftist conferences and events promoted by the Venezuelan government.
They're sort of promoting social tourism. They want to have people that can't afford to travel in Venezuela, travel around Venezuela, subsidized by the government.
Better off foreign tourists still do come. They visit the country's spectacular wilderness areas and the Angel Falls, the world's highest waterfall. Sojo says a recent devaluation of the Venezuelan currency and high inflation mean that travelers can get great deals, just not at the official currency exchanges.
If you have dollars and if you change it in the black market, you're going to be rich.
In Caracas, I'm Reese Ehrlich for Marketplace.
And finally, a new Yale University study says kids think foods marketed by their favorite cartoon characters taste better. A group of 4 to 6-year-olds were given two choices, a plain meal with no marketing and the same one marketed with pictures of the likes of Dora the Explorer and Scooby-Doo. Most of the kids said the food with the cartoons tasted better. Yeah, it's information researchers say they've suspected for a long time. Next thing you know, food companies are going to start advertising on Saturday morning television. Check us out online at marketplace.org, the latest there. Of course, you can share your thoughts with us and follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis, MMR. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.